Living God, help us to hear your word, that we may truly understand, that understanding we will believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. John 19:28-30. After this, knowing that everything was already completed in order to fulfill for the scripture, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was nearby. The soldiers soaked a sponge in it, placed on the hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When he had received the sour wine, Jesus said, "It is completed." Bowing his head, he gave up his life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In 1996, a young Marine corporal by the name of Joey Mora fell overboard when he was on an aircraft carrier patrolling the Iranian Sea. It was 36 hours before his absence was noted. At that point, an all-out search began that lasted another 24 hours. It was then determined that no one could survive in the sea after 60 hours. So his parents were notified that he was missing and presumed dead. But truth is stranger than fiction. Four Pakistani fishermen found Joey Mora about 72 hours after he had fallen into the sea. He was treading water in his sleep, clinging to a makeshift flotation device he had made out of his trousers. He was delirious, and his tongue was dry and cracked and his throat parched. About 2 years later, Joey was interviewed by Stone Phillips on NBC's Dateline. He recounted his story, and when asked what was the most excruciating thing, he replied that the one thought that took over his whole body and pounded his brain was one word: water. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we're continuing the series this Lenten season on the seven last words of Christ from the cross. Today's word is, "I thirst." Now, while this word is very short in length, it is long in its meaning. So before we delve too deep into what this says to us, we don't want to overlook the obvious. Mark and Matthew note that as Jesus carried his cross, he was offered a wine mixture to either expedite death or to deaden his pain. Either way, Jesus refused, choosing the path of suffering instead. Later, Luke records that onlookers taunted Jesus, offering drink but keeping it out of his reach. So at this juncture, Jesus has been beaten, forced to carry his cross, nailed to the cross, and hanged there for 6 hours, exposed to the elements, and all this time without a drop to drink. We don't know how long it had been, and so it is no wonder that his fifth word is, "I thirst." We all know what it's like to thirst. I do. And most often I get that way when I'm doing yard work, or I'm in the middle of a really focused project and I can go hours without realizing I haven't drank anything until such time as I thirst or I start to feel really yucky. I imagine you've been there too, and so has Jesus. "I thirst" affirms the humanity of Jesus, which was important for the gospel writer, for John, because he was writing in an era where Gnostic theology was growing and they were saying that Jesus only appeared to be human. And so John makes it very clear for us that Jesus spoke this word and that Jesus is indeed human. It reminds us that Jesus identifies with us. You know, back when I was in middle school in Sioux Falls, my mom was driving down the road, and my grandmother was in the passenger seat. My brother and I were in the back seat. And Mom is tootling along down the road, and I see this sign that says dip. And I go, what's a dip? And my grandmother is sitting there, because my mother did not see the sign. And so I learned very quickly what a dip was. And it was a jolt. You know, life is like that. We tootle along down the road, and then we hit a bump or a dip, and we're jolted. Jesus understands this. Jesus was human like us. He understands how our physical trials can leave us weary. He knows how our emotional trials leave us scarred and wounded. And he knows how our spiritual trials can drain our spirit. The writer of Hebrews also understood this when he wrote these words. This is coming from the Message. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is ready to give. Take the mercy and accept the help. Jesus understands. He thirsted just like we thirst. And he shared our humanity so that through his death and his resurrection, we might share with him his glory. And so first of all, Jesus physically thirsted. But we have to look deeper at this word as well in the context of John's gospel. So I want to turn back about 15 chapters, back to chapter 4. And Jesus is traveling through the region of Samaria. It is noon. And it tells us Jesus is tired. See, he gets tired too. And so he stops and he sat down at a well. And while his disciples are off getting food, a woman approaches the well. And Jesus asks her to draw him some water. And she is stunned that a Jewish man would speak to her, a Samaritan woman. And Jesus tells her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And she responds, wondering who this person is and is he greater than Jacob who gave them the well? And Jesus again speaks to her and says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. That is, the water from the well. But whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the dialogue with the woman continues, and ultimately we discover this woman is spiritually parched. She is seeking to quench this thirst that is deep within her through relationships. She's had 5 men, and the one she's living with is not her husband, we learn. By the story's end, she is now drinking from the well of living water from Christ and returns to Sychar to tell all the others about this man that she had met who knew everything about her. Now then we move ahead a few more chapters to chapter 7, and Jesus is in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a 7-day feast that commemorates the end of the harvest and the provision of God during the wilderness years. And at the close of the feast, it was custom for the priest, the high priest, to go to the pool at Siloam to fill a golden pitcher with water, return to the temple, and then pour the water out over the altar of sacrifice. At that moment, the Levites would sound a trumpet, and the people would cry out, and they would quote the prophet Isaiah, who said, "With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And so it is in this context that Jesus stands and in a loud voice he says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Like the woman at the well, these people too were drawing from the wrong well. They were drawing from the well of ritual, and it was not satisfying their deep spiritual thirst. And so Jesus is saying, it won't satisfy, but come to me and you will find that which will satisfy. And so it's kind of ironic that in this moment, it is Jesus who is thirsting. But last week, recall that in the sixth hour, we learned that darkness came over the earth, that noon hour. And then 3 hours later, it was still dark, but Jesus at this moment has the full weight of the sins of the world upon him. And remember last week's word, the fourth word, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because the Father, whose holiness cannot look upon sin, had turned his back. In today's text in verse 28, it tells us that Jesus knew that now all things were completed. And what was that was completed? Well, we go back to the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus said, Father, take this cup from me, referring to the cup of God's wrath. And on the cross, Jesus drank that cup and it was empty. And God's wrath was satisfied. And Jesus, spiritually abandoned and spiritually thirsty, yearns to behold again the face of God. Perhaps he was thinking these words of the psalmist in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And Psalm 143:6, I spread out my hands to you, my soul thirsts for you, like a parched land. Because Jesus understands both our physical thirst, but also our spiritual thirst. And then through the power of the resurrection, Jesus now becomes that well of living water. He was emptied for our sake, that we might become full through his riches. We've experienced physical thirst. And you may be thirsty because I've been talking about it. But how thirsty is your soul right now? A young student went to his spiritual mentor and said, Master, how can I truly find God? And the teacher led the student to a river and said to the student, enter the water and immerse yourself. And the student said, okay, and the student complied. But once immersed, the master placed his hand on the student's head and held him under the water. The student began to thrash around until finally the master released him, and the student shot up out of the water, gasping for air. And after a few moments, the teacher said, when you desire God as truly as you desired to breathe the air you just breathed, then you will find God. You know, oftentimes it's easier for us to recognize our physical thirst. We know the symptoms of physical thirst. But sometimes the symptoms of spiritual thirst are harder to recognize. But oftentimes, if we look at our lives, we see the things that we go to try to fill us up, but we're never really satisfied. King Solomon had this experience. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it's quite an interesting book. Solomon writes about seeking fulfillment in life through wine, through wisdom, through wealth, and through women. In fact, the woman at the well could chalk up 6 men, but Solomon had her beat because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. One commentary I read said he also had 700 mothers-in-law, so there you go. But at the end of the book, Solomon notes this, chapter 12, verse 13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of humankind. Solomon discovered that there was nothing else that would provide lasting fulfillment except to pursue after God and to keep God's commands. Joey Morris' story also offers us that similar illustration, because here is a man who is surrounded by water for 72 hours. And what's the one thing on his mind? His thirst, water. Not all water we drink will quench our thirst. And the same is true of our spiritual thirsting after God. The only one that can help us with that is the one who thirsted for our sake. You know, John will write later in the book of Revelation, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And then the one seated on the throne said, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life.'" So are you thirsty for God today? Come to him. He who thirsted on your behalf and now offers you today and every day the gift of living water. Thanks be to God. Amen.